In this election, we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? We choose freedom. The freedom not just to get by, but get ahead. The freedom to make decisions about your own body. We believe in the promise of America, and we're ready to fight for it. Because when we fight, we win.
I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, if you're starting your career and you're hoping to climb the corporate ladder, hard work, talent, and of course sucking up to the right people will of course help your rise. But what will also help is if you're a psychopath. But if you're not, beware, some of your competitors might be, and psychopaths apparently do rather well at work. Melrona Corain is Associate Professor of Organisational Psychology at DCU. Melrona, good afternoon to you.
Hi there, how are you?
Are there degrees of psychopathy? Can you be a little bit of a psychopath? Or is it like you either are or you're not?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think we all have the capacity to be a psychopath, let's say. But most of us can rein in and regulate our predilections in that regard quite successfully, for sure.
Right. OK, so that's the difference, I suppose, the definitional difference that a psychopath can't rein those things in.
Well, here's the thing. A psychopath is basically somebody who has no empathy whatsoever. They are pathological liars. They have no guilt, no remorse. They are promiscuous. They are reckless. They are no control of their behavior, no regulation of the behavior, no long-term planning, shallow emotions, all of those types of things. And I suppose we can all have a low degree of those traits and characteristics of our behavior, but don't let them have free rein, you could say.
Mm. So but there's a perception that psychopaths might tend to be quite calculating.
Oh, for sure. They're utterly manipulative. They would have what's called strong levels of strategic intelligence. Now, they'll have no emotional intelligence, you know. So you'll never have a relationship, any kind of meaningful relationship with a psychopath because they have no empathy. So they do whatever they want to do and have no guilt, no remorse, couldn't care less about the consequences, and that would include you as well,
yeah.
You know. But here's the really interesting thing about psychopathy, and the more we study it. So, like, the exploration of it started off in prisons and in psychiatric hospitals way back, like probably nearly 100 years ago. But what we find now is that we can be a bit more discerning about what makes a psychopath. And so the most modern research tools that look at it identify three components to being a psychopath. One is disinhibition. And essentially that is a feature of a psychopath whereby they kind of do what they like, you know, no plans, very impulsive, no delaying of gratification. And that's quite a negative feature of psychopathy. Then you've got meanness, which is referred to as the darkest core of psychopathy. And this is somebody who's, you know, completely disdainful towards others, predisposed to being cruel and evil, you could say, in their behavior. But the third facet of psychopathy is boldness. And boldness characterizes somebody who's open to risk and they're fearless and they're courageous. And it's those elements of psychopathy that actually can be quite adaptive, especially in an organizational context. So this is a person who's going to take a risk, who's going to, you know, step out there, go into beyond their comfort zone and probably deliver something good for the organization as a result of that. And so certain occupations actually look for that type of characteristic, like, for example, firefighters. And you know, a stream of research has found that people who are first responders do display what are come under the umbrella of psychopathic traits, but actually that adaptive facet of psychopathy, which is boldness. And so certain professions, along with firefighters, have high levels of people with these psychopathic traits, but they're actually positive traits. And so those professions would include company CEOs, lawyers, surgeons, salespeople, radio and TV characters, would you believe?
Yes, I find that difficult to believe, really.
And then you've got professions then that would have very, very low levels of psychopathy, and they would be things like social workers, nurses, therapists, artists, that type of thing.
Mm. But even some of the professions, or many of the professions you mentioned there, have a component of helping people.
For sure.
So, are they doing it to help people or just doing it because it's for themselves they're doing it?
It's very interesting. Generally speaking, they would be doing it because there's some kickback to themselves and their own sense of their own value, their own sense of their grandiosity. But at the same time, there are things like self-esteem, they like doing these brave things, deliver a hit to their self-esteem or their pride in their work. So there's all sorts of different reasons why they do it. But ultimately, you would have to be very careful with welcoming a psychopath, let's say, into your organization simply because the downside would outweigh the good.
Yes. When they're doing things in a self-interested way, what are they getting out of that? Are they getting joy out of it?
Well, they're not good at emotion at all. So they don't really go for the emotional piece whatsoever. They are looking at their long-term goals. And so they are looking after number one, totally and utterly, and furthering their own objectives and seeking their own advantages the whole time, which is why they end up in prison. Most of them do end up in prison because they break the law. But there was a fabulous book written a few years ago saying that if the guy wasn't researching people, psychopaths in prison, he'd be researching them on the stock exchange.
Yes. do psychopaths ever know they're psychopaths?
That's a really good question. I guess, you know, if you got a big enough of a hit, let's say, you might, you know, that stopped you in your tracks, you know, such that your life completely and utterly fell apart and it landed with you to some degree. That might be a moment, a little bit eureka moment where a person might engage in some kind of self-awareness and kind of consider what is possibly going wrong. Is it possibly me? Like, am I the reason why I have this trail of destruction in my wake? But a psychopath, generally speaking, isn't really concerned about the trail of destruction unless it was sufficiently vast for them to be stopped in their tracks and decide to do a little bit of introspection.
Yeah. Does that imply, though, that they're not able to make that comparison between their own behaviour and the effect it has and other people's behaviour and the effect it has?
They couldn't care less about the effect of their behaviour on other people.
Mm.
You know, they're only considering themselves the whole time. They're utterly kind of parasitic, you know, so they will leech and bleed another person dry and not really, it won't kind of register with them that this other person is brokenhearted and devastated and destroyed. It just doesn't land with them.
Yeah. No, but I mean, say if you're, you know, if you're a psychopath and you have a brother and your brother's the sweetest person ever and there's an opportunity there to compare yourself to your brother. Everyone likes my brother. My brother, you know, makes everyone happy. There isn't a trail of destruction, but there is behind me. So in that sense, when psychopaths look at the way other people act, do they just think there's something wrong with them rather than there's something wrong with the psychopath, if you see what I mean?
Exactly. They would probably look at other people who don't behave in the same way, maybe kind of losers and, suckers and all of this type of a thing. They don't have this kind of level of introspection, and because they're so wrapped up in themselves, they're absorbed with themselves, they don't engage in that type of contemplation or reflection.
Yeah. Is there a connection between narcissism and psychopathy? Are they on a scale with each other?
There certainly is a connection. There's something called the dark tetrad of personality, and they include narcissism, Machiavellianism, psychopathy, and sadism. And the four of those are correlated. Now, they're quite different as well, but nonetheless, they absolutely are correlated. Where you see one of these dark characteristics, there's a likelihood that other mechanisms of the other traits are going to be similar too. But a narcissist is different because you can actually kind of coach a narcissist. You know, they will be full of themselves. They are a center of attention. They want the limelight. But they will have a little bit more of a reflective capacity such that if the downside of all of those behaviors is pointed out to them, they may not necessarily apologise, but they may see the value of getting the better of those dark behaviours, you know. Whereas that kind of coaching wouldn't kind of register with the psychopaths, you know, because they don't have that empathy to start off with, and that would be the big difference. And then a Machiavellian personality is somebody who is all about the ends justifies the means. They are hugely strategic. They will do whatever is required to get what they want, and to hell with the consequences and anybody who gets caught up in that as well. And then a sadist is somebody who essentially enjoys inflicting cruelty on other people. So there are crossovers, and that's why we have this framework called the dark tetrad of personality.
Yeah, how common is psychopathy? I mean, I read a thing that's maybe around 50,000 in Ireland. Would that be a realistic figure?
Well, I mean, we're not drowning in psychopaths. I mean, the prevalence in the normal population is around 4.5%. It tends to be higher amongst males. It tends to be higher amongst university samples. But this is the really interesting thing. And then, like, in a prison population, there was one study that showed the rate of psychopathy was 37%. But this is the thing, like, we need more good research in this field, and it hasn't really, a lot of the stories of psychopathy rest on anecdote and not necessarily fantasy, but just stories of this, that, and the other person, without there being really robust and reliable scientific research being conducted. So we need more research in this area.
Yeah, it's fascinating, plus a bit terrifying. Malarona, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Malarona Corain is Associate Professor of Organisational Psychology at DCU. She's also a director of Let's Lead, which is a programme in DCU Business School that helps women with leadership. Obviously, no psychopaths need apply.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.